All right. Let's just do it. I'm going to take another sip of seltzer.
Let's just do it.
Two rusted root.
Send me more. Send us on our way.
Let us send us on our way.
Send me more. Honestly, it's so good.
That should be my karaoke song.
Yeah.
Reach out my hand.
That's a great karaoke song, although I always feel like I'm putting on a voice for it.
I know, yeah, that's me too. Stimmy the Darkness would also be a good one, too.
Just listen to the rhythm of the heart.
There's a chance we can make it now. We'll be rocking till the sun goes down.
Guitar!
Two White Girls Talk Bollywood. I'm Kim.
And I'm Katie. And we're here to talk about singing and dancing and bootlegging Bollywood boys.
Indeed. And there was definitely more singing and dancing.
Yeah.
Than I would have expected there to be.
Yeah. We, for this week, are discussing Race, which was not actually as dark as I expected it to be.
I feel like the Netflix words used to be, like, dark drama.
Yeah.
As opposed to, like, dark and exciting.
I don't remember. I think there was, like, some of the scenes you would see in, like, the preview that Netflix would show was, like, he was bloodied or, you know, it seemed violent. And, like, the whole, like, alcohol thing. And then there was, like, fear. It felt like he was kind of like a slumlord in a way. I have a few comments to make on this film, but really it felt like it was trying to be darker and edgier than it actually was.
Yes, I agree. And I found myself wishing that it had been the drama I was expecting.
Yeah.
Because it was very superficial. There was no real depth.
Yeah. As I was finishing it, I was like, you know what my problem with this is that the writing is just very weak.
Yes.
The writing is so weak. Yeah. And I think there were amazing performances in it, but the writing was weak. You need that to back it up. And it made me think about the fact that, like, I don't actually think Shah Rukh has ever had a poor performance.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I've seen anyway. I think he's just been in poorly written films.
Yeah. I think that's fair. Because, yeah, no, there was no moment where I felt like, you know, I wasn't engaged by Shah Rukh's performance. And I think the supporting actors and supporting characters were good too. But yeah, I totally agree about the writing. And it just, like, none of the politics.
Yeah.
Like, I thought that that was what it was going to be about. Right. But there was
really,
because
he fell into a political trap.
Yeah, it all felt very watered down. It's like watered down alcohol, just like
cheap. But really, like, it felt like the writing would sometimes start to explore something and then it'd be like get distracted by something else.
Yes.
And I think we'll talk more about it at the end, but I would have liked to see Race, his character development, more than what we saw, you know.
I think there was so much that he could have grappled with that he just didn't.
Or, like, they acted like he was going to grapple with it, but then he was, like, totally fine.
Right.
Which then kind of undermined the whole point of his character.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then Namazuddin Siddiqui's character, who I thought he was great.
Mm-hmm.
But his character was also, I was like, ooh, I like this, like, by-the-books cop who kind of has a grudging respect for this criminal that he's, like, trying to pin down and, like, imprison. And then his character just went completely off the rails for seemingly no reason. So,
yeah,
I was just like, what are we doing here? I feel like the writers kind of got lost midway through, but then were like, well, we want this to be the ending, so we'll just kind of force this to happen. And that was a bummer. Don't even get me started on Race's son. Like, what? She was pregnant for a year.
I don't think... she had... The baby was a pretty large baby. I think that baby was, like, several months old when they presented it.
Okay. All right.
But yeah, certainly I think it just wasn't a well-crafted movie. Yeah. It was sort of breezing past a lot of things without going into any sort of depth. I also felt like we just were kind of told multiple times that he's like this criminal mastermind, and all of the plans he executes are fairly obvious.
Simple, yeah.
Yeah, any time where there would have actually been like an impressive plan, that he just sort of like doesn't do anything, or we're just sort of like, oh, but don't worry, he like paid off the cops, and it just it didn't feel like anybody really put any effort into creating this story. It was just like, well, we want to do like a bootlegging drama that also has a political twist.
Right.
It was almost like it was AI generated.
It was. Yeah. Well, because I was also just thinking, too, it's like this is the 1980s when they showed like the news clips of like the rioting happening and the kind of this clash between religions. But we didn't really go into depth about it beyond Reyes being like, no, we're not differentiating between who's Muslim and who is Hindu. Like everyone's getting fed. Which is a nice sentiment, but, like, I feel like that would probably have had more of an impact on the bootlegging industry of the time than that film showed.
Yeah, that could have been the whole movie.
Yeah.
Like, that's really interesting. And the religious dynamics within that are fascinating. But instead, they just kind of glazed over it.
Yeah. It fell short.
It did fall short. But let's get into our cast and then our plot. And we've already, you know, Shah Rukh Khan is Rais. Nawazuddin Siddiqui is Majmudar, and I'm also going to mention Mahira Khan, who is Asiya. I had seen her in several films from Pakistan, so I was excited to see her here. And I did think that she and Shah Rukh had excellent chemistry. Not that Shah Rukh ever has trouble having chemistry with anybody, but, you know, it's nice when it's reciprocated.
Yeah, I also wish she would have had more of a part to play other than, like,
his doting wife. She is, like, strong and gets involved in things in certain ways, but then it's, like, the minute he does anything wrong, there's no real, like, repercussions.
Right.
Like, their relationship is just fine. Yeah. She doesn't, like, stick up for herself or what she needs in this relationship.
It kind of felt like, she and their son were just there to try to convince the audience that Rais is, like, a good man and...
Yeah. It's a lot of telling us things without actually showing us things in this one. Yeah. But let's get into our plot.
Yes, that sounds good. I feel like it could have been good.
Yes, it definitely could have. Again, it's a lot like Dopati in a way. It's like there were all these parts that could have added up to a really spectacular whole, but they didn't.
Yeah.
So, here we go.
Let's do it.
We open in Fatehpura, Gujarat, where we see a bunch of townspeople, including children, making alcohol. A voiceover tells us that the buying and selling of alcohol is illegal in Gujarat, and yet there is still a booming market for it, and none of that would have been possible without Rais. Rais is a young boy growing up in Fatehpura, and from an early age, he proved that he was not opposed to taking part in illicit activities to get what he wants. For example, Rais learns he needs glasses, and when his mother can't immediately afford to buy frames for him, he conspires to steal the frames off of a statue of Gandhi.
This is so sweet.
It is very adorable. I always love, like, sort of a child gang.
Yes.
It's fun. Always makes me think of Philip Pullman's His Dark Materials. But so he does this with the help of his friend Sadiq, and Sadiq keeps a lookout for Rais and shouts Baijan when he sees a security guard coming.
Yes.
This being their secret code for something dangerous on the horizon.
Yes. This entire film, I kept waiting for Sadiq to get killed. Because it just felt like that's where we were heading.
Like, my best friend's gonna die.
Of course he is, because you rely on him for so much. But no, he doesn't die.
No.
Wife doesn't die.
Yeah. Well, those are some props we can give this movie. They subverted our expectations.
Yes, that's very true.
Of side characters. Rais and Sadiq work for a bootlegger named Ilya. And soon after Rais gets his new glasses, Ilya's operation is raided by the police. Rais tries to warn Ilya, but he's too late and the cops slap Rais for working with Ilya. Rais's mom steps forward to defend him, and when the cop mocks her, she says that no business is too small and no duty is bigger than business. Now, I didn't understand this life lesson.
Okay, I also was just like, ah, wise words, and didn't think about them, which is a common reaction I have when I'm watching a movie. But okay, no business is too small. Sure, uh-huh, all businesses have value.
All business is important.
And but, no duty is bigger than business?
Yeah.
Is it the whole, like, cash is king thing?
I guess.
But what was she talking about?
I don't know.
She's talking about, like, the police should bow in the face of business?
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe that's what it is. It's like, you cops are not as important as the business that we do here. Because Rais is always saying how, like, Gujarat, it's all about business.
Right.
So maybe that, I think that's a good interpretation of it.
Okay,
like
but
that.
It would have been nice.
That.
It would have been nice to see how that, like, bootlegging business was contributing back to the community. Because that's the only way in which I'd be like, oh, yeah, no, that makes sense. And, like, that's okay. Like, if this business is keeping a whole community afloat, then sure. If it's not, what's the point?
You know? And I think if it's not, then that motto doesn't have the looking up to her, like, oh, my mother, so well respected. You know, I think if that had been the motto without there being that support for the community, then it would have been more of like, my mom always said, you know.
Oh, that's true.
No duty's as important as business. So yeah, I think you're right. There's something's missing kind of in all of it here.
I was just thinking of yep, that's me. You might be wondering how I ended up here.
Record scratch. I do feel they could have done that with Nawazuddin Siddiqui's character.
Yeah, because he started narrating stuff and I was like, oh, yeah. Okay.
But anyway, so this is the life motto. And we learned that Ilya's operation was responsible for the poisoning and subsequent deaths of 150 people because the alcohol that he was brewing was tainted.
Yeah.
So Rais asks his mom if what she said to the police is true, and she says yes, as long as nobody comes to any harm. Rais and Sadiq then go to work for a different bootlegger named Jairaj, who sells imported liquor rather than making his own.
Mm-hmm.
Rais impresses Jairaj not just with his enthusiasm and knack for delivering liquor safely and efficiently, but also with the speed at which he takes revenge on a man who teases him for his glasses.
Yeah.
Rais then grows up into a wiry, ripplingly muscled Shah Rukh Khan.
I forgot about that whole, like, shirtless scene.
Wow. Yeah. Of course, that's how we're introduced to him. We don't see him shirtless at any other point in the movie just for his introduction.
It doesn't really make it would make more sense if he were, like, boxing with people or if he fought a lot.
Yeah. They just wanted to show us his body. And it's like, I don't have a problem with seeing his body, but I would prefer it be in a context that makes sense and isn't just, like, you know, thrills provided by Shah Rukh Khan.
I agree with that. Yeah. This was not the film for that. It was not necessary.
Right. Yeah.
Like I said, I completely forgot about that scene.
Yeah.
Because I have seen his rippling abs before in other films.
In contexts that do make sense.
Yes, yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, so Rais tells Sadiq that he's decided it's time to start their own bootlegging operation. They go to discuss this with Jairaj, who they are still working for at this point, and Jairaj definitely doesn't take this well.
Nope.
Things get tense in this conversation, and Jairaj offers Rais 1 lakh worth of alcohol to get started if Rais can get the money in 3 days. He then gives Rais a watch and says the time will tick away in his mind. But it doesn't take long for Rais to form a plan. He learns that because it's Eid, the cost of goats is very high. Mm-hmm. So he trades his motorcycle for a fancy car, and then trades the fancy car for a truck full of goats, and then he and Sadiq take the goats to Mumbai to sell at the market. The men at the market are not thrilled when Rais and Sadiq show up, and when one man insults Rais's glasses, he starts beating people up. He even beats one man with the severed head of a goat, which is intense.
I would be like, please, anything but that.
Context is also important here. If they weren't at a goat market, it'd be way weirder.
Yeah, he's just pulls got out one his handy. Severed goat head.
This is my weapon of choice. Yeah, so they win this fight, but Rais ends up having to answer to a man named Musa who runs the market.
Mm-hmm.
Rais says Musa's men were the ones who started the fight. He was just there to sell his goats. And Musa says that goats aren't much of a business, but Rais responds that no business is too small, repeating his mother's words.
True.
Musa was holding on to Rais's glasses, but he gives them back to him and tells him that the way forward will soon become clear. And on the train home, Rais notices a man listening in on his and Sadiq's conversation. This man follows them home and offers them a suitcase full of cash if they kill Musa. Rais refuses, and this man reveals that he is actually Musa's right-hand man, and Musa is the one who sent the money. This man, Nawab, says Musa liked what Rais said about no business being too small, and once Musa likes someone, no one can mess with them.
That's nice. I also just want to point out here that, like, when this request comes up, Rais is like, well, why would we kill him? We have no problem with him. But I like that Sadiq is like, well, and we don't murder people.
You it's know? Sadiq like, who has to, like, remind him of that.
Yeah. And I just think that that's an important touch moving forward where they could have done some really interesting things with, like, Rais making, like, some choices later on that do lead to murder. And then if Sadiq had actually been a sort of, like, moral compass for him. Like, there's just interesting things they could have done with that dynamic. And they just didn't.
Well, it's interesting that you bring this up in this moment because, like, my whole thing was the philosophy from his mother was, like, don't do any harm.
Yeah.
When you're killing people, you're doing harm. Like, even if they're people who have wronged you.
Yeah.
And so I'm just like, why was it not until the end that he realized the harm he was capable of causing?
Yeah. Like,
he could have grappled with that way earlier in the movie and had to kind of keep telling himself, like, oh, but it's justified for this, that, and the other reason. But then, yeah, had Sadiq be like, is it, though? Like, there was an interesting dynamic to be fleshed out there.
Yeah, well, and you raise a good point, too, where to justify it, all they would have had to do is have his mom slip in the word, like, innocence.
Yeah.
Like, as long as no innocent people are harmed. And then it'd be like, okay, it's totally fine to murder other murderers or, like, bad guys. And then that would explain why he doesn't, like, wrestle with it until the end. But otherwise, it's just, like, you leapt from no murder to murder, like, really fast.
And a lot of murder.
You seem to get over that pretty quickly.
Yes. Yeah. Doesn't take long.
Yeah. Anyway, we're getting ahead of ourselves. Yeah. But it is, I feel like it's important to point out missed opportunities.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. But yeah, Rais accepts the money, and then he goes to visit his mother's grave and tells her that he's starting his own business and he won't let anyone come to any harm. Another thing just about this whole, like, I really thought that his mother was going to be more of, like, an emotional kind of through line of the movie, but I saw this and I was like, oh, she's just dead. Okay.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I thought there was going to be kind of more to her and her words and her impact on Rais's life and growth, but no, she's dead.
Yeah, again, they just kind of they planted the seeds for all these through lines and then just chopped them off.
Yeah, it's they were just true.
Like, nope,
before they could blossom.
That's too complex for this film.
But then it was also not just, like, you know, a fun, simple tiger film. You know, it was trying too hard to be something more. Like,
yeah. It was disappointing. I'm disappointed.
I know, I am too. But here we go. Rais is now a bootlegger in his own right, and this leads us into a dance number slash montage, Dingana, which this song is sung by Mika Singh, who I love. And over the course of this dance number, we see Rais and his crew devising creative ways to sell concealed alcohol.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, 235 kilometers away from Fatehpura, there's a costume party going on.
Yup.
At this costume party, a man dressed as Michael Jackson is dancing better than he ever did in the movie Moon of Michael.
Yes, it's because he was taught by Muna.
Yes, he held on to those skills and used them here. This man confronts the host of this party and gets him to confess to serving imported scotch. Then he gets on stage and announces that the party is over and they can continue at the Gandhinagar police station.
I like the commitment of some cops in movies and shows and stuff where they're like, I'm going to get fully dressed up. I'm going to, like, pretend to be a guest. It's a really complicated, sting operation.
I feel like they didn't really know what they were doing with this character. Like,
they didn't.
this set it up to me as like, okay, he's sort of like the silly, like maybe kind of
right,
like Mad Hatter type cop who like, you don't really know if you can trust them or not because they're so sort of like wily and you can't like pin them down. But then no, actually he's by the book cop.
Right. Up until he's like, suddenly something happened to disenchant him with everything. And now he's also gonna murder people.
Yeah.
That is literally never explained.
No, and it's like, I can understand him being disappointed with the system at other points in the movie, but when it happens, things are kind of going exactly the way he would have wanted them
to. Exactly. It makes zero sense.
Anyway, we continue to get ahead of ourselves.
Yeah, but also, as you're talking about, like, I feel like they could have made him, like, an LSD character.
I was going to say, like, LSD, yeah. And I feel like they wanted to because, I mean, I haven't seen Nawazuddin Siddiqui in many things, but I get the sense that he plays that kind of role well. Like,
yeah.
Like, where you're, like, not quite sure, is he
kind
crazy?
Of unhinged, but, yeah. Like, smart, but, like, yeah, you don't know where he's coming from.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I feel like maybe they were trying to, like, lean into that because they knew he could do it well, but they didn't do enough with it, and it was also just the wrong character to give that to.
Yeah, the writing didn't back it up.
Yeah. Anyway. Anyway, this is Majmudar. And so Majmudar goes and he tells his superiors about this arrest, but his superiors tell him to let the host of the party go. And Majmudar says, I'm going to need that in writing because he's not one for letting people off for being able to pay for stuff reasons. He's like, I need that in writing to make it official and show how shady you're being. But instead of doing that, his superiors just transfer him to Fatehpura. That's just the answer to all the questions that this police system is like, this person is too by the book, so send him to be someone else's problem.
Mm-hmm.
Back in Fatehpura, we meet Rais's love interest, Asya. They have a very charged, very flirty exchange where Asya asks Rais to bring her into his world, and he promises that once he builds it, she will be the first to see it. I liked all the scenes with them.
Yeah.
None of them felt important enough to really flesh them out in the
They're
recap.
Not important. I no. don't know what the point of them is because she never really serves as any, like, again, I'm kind of looking for, like, a moral compass. Like, I feel like they were trying to create him as this, like, morally gray character who, like, wants to do good by doing bad. But then why didn't we see more, like, actual conversations between the two of them rather than him, like, crying and her just kind of comforting
him? It's okay. Him. Yeah.
Yeah. What was her purpose?
I don't think anything had a purpose in this movie.
Yeah. Which is a
purposeless.
Real shame.
It is. It is. Real missed opportunity. But so Majmudar arrives in Fatehpura and he tricks one of the cops into revealing that he's on the take from the bootleggers and that he knows how to get alcohol from them. So Majmudar hands the cop a pen and paper and says he can either write his letter of resignation or the address of all the known bootleggers. Majmudar then sets up a checkpoint and gets his hands on one of Jairaj's trucks full of alcohol, and he makes a big show of driving a bulldozer over all the bottles.
Who's gonna clean that up? Now there's just shattered glass everywhere.
Shattered glass everywhere. I didn't have that thought. I did feel like that would probably be really satisfying.
It would probably be very satisfying.
But you're right, someone's gotta clean that up. Hopefully it was the cops, because they made the mess.
But it probably wasn't.
But probably not. So Rais and Sadiq are concerned because they've got a big shipment coming in. And then Rais gets called to the police station to have a talk with Majmudar. And the two have a sort of battle of wits-esque conversation over tea.
Mm-hmm.
In the midst of this, Majmudar gets a phone call and they've learned when and where the truck will be coming in with Rais's shipment. Rais leaves, and then he and his crew intercept their own truck before it gets to the police checkpoint. They load the alcohol onto a bunch of smaller vehicles and send those vehicles all in different directions.
Mm-hmm.
When the truck arrives at the checkpoint, Majmudar opens it to find nothing but a cup of tea.
Now, I do appreciate, like, a sassy, like, symbol.
Just a little dig, yeah.
Yeah.
Jairaj then approaches Rais about starting a syndicate together, and Rais agrees, but only if he gets to be the chairman. He says he'll give Jairaj 3 weeks to think it over instead of just 3 days, and then hands him his watch and says it will be ticking off the time in his mind.
Mm-hmm.
Again, a nice little sort of just undercutting of, like, you thought you had the upper hand, but I do.
Yep.
this leads us into a love number, completely unrelated.
Yeah.
Udi Udi Jaye. And Rais and Asya dance and then get married. Mm-hmm. So congratulations to them.
I was just thinking, and I don't know if I don't know if it's fair for me to bring this movie up, but like Agnipot.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking about Agnipot. A fair bit, yeah.
And to be clear, we haven't watched the original Agnipot that is on our to-do list, but we're talking about the Hrithik Roshan not cover.
Remake
of Agnipot. But that was actually dark and gritty, and that was something that was able to juggle the drug dealing thing with the love story, and like the love story felt believable.
Yeah, like there was still like lightness in that movie, and there were like sort of actual kind of moral implications and consequences.
Not that we are not pitting Hrithik Roshan and Shah Rukh Khan against each other.
No, we're definitely not saying that, you know, one is in any way superior to the other.
No, but Agnipot is a superior film that is about similar things.
Yes, yeah, it was done much more effectively. But so Majmudar gets a tip-off that Rais has another big shipment coming in, and so he blocks off all the highways leading into Fatehpura. So Rais forges a new alliance with a man named Damla, who he says rules the seas, and they successfully bring the alcohol in by boat.
Why didn't the... Sorry.
Why didn't the cops think of that? I don't know.
Right? Like, yeah.
I wondered the exact same thing.
It's not that clever.
It's really not. Again, really, there's no evidence that he is an actual mastermind. We're just expected to believe that he is.
Yeah.
I think more the issue is that everyone else is dumb.
Yeah.
So Jairaj decides that Rais has gotten too powerful, and so he hires a sniper to try to kill Rais.
Mm-hmm.
Rais sees the sniper before he can take his shot, and he takes the man down and then chases him through the streets doing parkour and causing quite a bit of property damage as they go. Rais eventually bests the sniper, and we see Rais's crew step in and carry the man away in a very threatening manner.
Mm-hmm.
Majmudar finds out about this sniper who was murdered, and he arrests Rais.
Mm-hmm.
Musa then finds out that Rais has been arrested, and the next thing we know, Majmudar's superiors are telling him to release Rais because another man has confessed to the murder.
Yeah.
I don't know who that man was or what that ended up happening to him. Like, did he go to jail for a murder? Like, I don't...
I think so. I think he must have, but I guess he was pretty compensated. Looked
pretty happy about it. He was like, yeah, I killed him. It's cool.
That also gave me some, like, White Tiger vibes.
Uh-huh.
But, like, all of the complex dynamics.
Yeah. Another great movie that we shouldn't compare this movie to.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Rais is free. Back at home, Asya tells Rais that she's pregnant, but the celebratory moment is interrupted by Musa calling Rais to reveal that Jairaj sent the sniper after him. So Rais goes to a nightclub where Jairaj hangs out, and we get our next dance number, Layla May Layla.
I'm gonna say this is my favorite.
This is fun. I was into this. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They're kind of like dancing up together, him and this dancer lady. And Rais steals a hairpin from her as she's dancing up on him.
But it's like a stabby hairpin.
It is a stabby hairpin, and he uses it thusly. He leaves the party atmosphere, and he goes up to where Jairaj and his goons are hanging out, and he stabs one of them in the neck. He steals that guy's gun, and then he just shoots everybody at the upstairs part, not at the dance club, because the dance club is still just thriving. They're just, nothing's going to stop their party.
Yeah.
But so then he sees Jairaj waiting for him, and Rais remembers how significant Jairaj was to him as a child before he says a prayer and shoots Jairaj 3 times.
Yeah.
Rais leaves the scene covered in blood and looks a bit shell-shocked, but he is ultimately fine.
Yeah, I just wish it was like the writers were like, okay, how do other movies usually handle this? Ah, yes, they show a flashback of a meaningful moment, and then that will be enough to convey to the audience that this was like a tough decision. But there should have been more exploration of that.
Yeah,
and how did that impact Rais? And we should have seen it.
Yeah. Because I didn't feel like Jairaj actually was all that important to him. Like,
no.
And they had just had, like, a pretty big falling out.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I just, it didn't really seem like that would have been as complicated of a choice. I feel like more complicated of the choice would have been, like, how many people he had to kill to get to him.
He killed, like, 7 dudes.
As a lot of guys. Least. Yeah.
Yeah. And then he goes home and he's like, I've done bad. And then that's it. And then he's like, all right, that's fine. And I just, it should have gone one of two ways. He either should have then leaned into it and been like, well, in for a penny, in for a pound. Mm-hmm. I will now murder to get what I need to do done. Or it should have been something he continued to wrestle with.
Yeah.
But exactly. Instead, he's just like, it's like it never happened. It's just like, whatever.
And I think it is just like, okay, well, now this is just kind of a part of my repertoire of things I can do is kill people. But there's no like emotional exploration of it. So anyway, Majumdar and his superiors show up at the crime scene, and Majumdar says that they have to stop Rais, but his superiors decide to transfer him away from Fatehpura. But Majumdar vows that that won't stop him from bringing Rais down. So a year passes, and Majumdar tells us in a voiceover that Rais's business is thriving. Mm-hmm. He bribes the cops with a truck full of alcohol every month and pays off the press and local politicians, too. We get another dance number, Zalima. This one sung by Arijit Singh, another of my favorite playback singers. So, like, you know, great musical choices here.
Yeah, I was actually thinking you would be really proud of me because as the song was happening, I was like, I know this voice.
Yeah.
And so, no, I didn't know him by name, but I looked him up and I was like, yup.
That is excellent. Yeah. He's got a very distinctive voice. And he's also done a million things. Yeah. So.
Oh, but his voice is beautiful.
I know, so amazing. I can't tell you how many songs that I've gone back and listened to, like, from older movies I haven't watched in a while that I'm like, that's also Arijit Singh.
Prolific. Yeah. He also does concerts too, by the way.
He does, yeah, we should go. We should also go to a Diljit Dosanjh concert. So yeah, over the course of this number, we see Asya and Rais name their son Faizan. Rais sends Majumdar sweets and an invitation to celebrate the naming of his son. Majumdar throws the invitation away, but he keeps the sweets, which I respect.
Mm-hmm.
But then he rethinks the invitation when he finds out that Damla and Rais might be working together. So he sends a cop with the invitation to the party, and we see that Rais is also tight with the chief minister and his opposition, a man named Pasha. Pasha and the chief minister discuss Pasha's staunch approval of the ban on alcohol as they both drink imported liquor. Now, here is just another place where this movie fell short. There's a lot of fascinating dynamics around why alcohol might be illegal, in the same way that there's a lot of fascinating dynamics around why certain drugs may or may not be illegal and others, you know, are acceptable. And the fact of, like, these two rich men, rich privileged men, being able to just casually drink liquor without fear of any consequences, when meanwhile there's, like, the impoverished people outside who have to, like, fight to get the illegal, you know, it just, this is really interesting. Why didn't we do anything with it or about
it? Yeah, because we could have seen, like, Rais wrestle with that as well.
Uh-huh.
Playing the part of a politician while also hating the people that he's working with. But it's just, like, none of that's there.
Right.
Yeah.
Another thing they were trying to set up was, like, him as, like, you know, a man of the people.
Right.
But, like, that never
really... How do you reconcile these things? Yeah.
Yeah, that never really ended up being all that important. Majumdar has the confirmation now that he needs that Damla is working with Rais, and so he raids Damla. Rais then goes to the chief minister and asks him to transfer Majumdar, which he does, but he transfers him to the control room at the ministry. Far from stopping Majumdar's investigations, Majumdar is now able to tap Rais's phone calls and just listen in.
Is it that easy?
Apparently, it's that easy, and also doesn't really seem to mean much of anything.
Yeah.
It ends up being just slightly significant.
You're
for
right.
One
he doesn't.
Reason.
Yeah, he doesn't really use it to discover a whole lot.
No.
But then I feel like they kind of use that to show, like, he kind of likes Rais as, like, a person, but then that doesn't really come back.
No.
Also, can we just make a note that I don't know if you were going to bring this up because I forget exactly when we first see it, but Rais's phone.
Yeah.
It's like a car.
It's like a race car. It's like a red, like, race car. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like what you would put in your, like, 10-year-old child's room.
Right. Yeah, if you were a child in the 90s or the early aughts and you had your own phone line, your phone would look like that.
Yes. Yep. Yeah.
Not, but you're a full-grown man and a bootlegger, and this is what you've chosen for.
And, like,
phone.
You've murdered people, and your phone is a race car.
Yep. Like, there could have been a really interesting, funny joke or story about that, but nope. Yeah, just, no. That's the choice that we made. But so, Majumdar overhears a call between Rais and Pasha. Rais has learned that Pasha is planning an anti-alcohol rally set to drive right past Rais's neighborhood, and he tells Pasha that this will hurt his business. Pasha essentially says that that this is Rais's problem, and Rais says that if he goes through with the rally, it will be his last. Mm-hmm. So Majumdar has this threat published in the newspaper. This is the one time that I feel like he actually uses any information he hears over the phone. And so this gets Rais in trouble with the chief minister. Pasha goes forward with the rally, and an undeterred Rais and his crew cause a big explosion by throwing a Molotov cocktail at a bunch of bottles of liquor, and then after the explosion, he and his men start an all-out battle with Pasha's men.
Yeah, I don't condone violence.
No.
But it was kind of cool that he, like, threw the Molotov cocktail up and then
threw another bottle
and then just, like, mid-air explosion. Oh, yeah, that was pretty cool.
I'm going to bring in yet another movie here and just say that this one scene made me really want to watch the movie CIA Comrade in America, which is a Dilker Salman movie.
Which I haven't seen.
The first thing he does in the movie is, like, throw a Molotov cocktail. Like, he's, like, protesting, and he, like, throws it at the police. Anyway, I was just like, I want to see Dilker Salman do this, but...
Yeah.
But the movie's not available to stream anywhere, so... Anyway, back to this movie. Yeah, this is bad. People are getting cut up. Some people get set on fire. It's absolute anarchy.
Yeah.
Rais ends up hitting Pasha over the head with a microphone and then asking him into the mic repeatedly if he understands who has guts.
Here's another example of Rais causing harm to innocent people. The only thing they're guilty of is being pro-prohibition.
Exactly. Yeah, like, these people aren't necessarily, they're not, like, his security or anything. Not that they, like, would deserve to be beaten
they're
up.
Just
but, yeah,
like
they're just,
people
like,
people who
his
showed
supporters.
Up at this rally.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. But so the press think that the chief minister ordered Rais's attack on Pasha, so to prove that he wasn't involved, the chief minister sends Rais to jail. And Rais worries what will happen to his business while he's in jail. He doesn't ask about his family in any way, but his business, no, that's a problem. But the chief minister tells him everything will be fine. He'll run his business from jail, and he'll be out of jail in a matter of days. No big deal. But then, the chief minister and Pasha join forces, and Rais decides that the only thing for him to do is to run for office himself.
Mm-hmm.
We're two-thirds of the way through this movie, and we're finally getting to the political drama part.
Yeah, and even then, we don't really see much of that
side of it. It's kind of nothing. Asiya is on board with this, and she tells Sadiq to arrange Rais's bail while she arranges his votes. The campaign kicks off, they make flyers and banners and flags, and Rais makes bail and is released from jail just in time for the election, which he wins in a historic victory.
Imagine electing a criminal to a position of power.
I almost, like, wrote in a joke like that of, like, can you imagine someone who's been committed of multiple crimes?
Whoa.
What a concept. Oh my god. This is the darkest timeline. Okay.
Yep.
But so Rais, now in his new position in politics, envisions building a new housing development. And he tells Asiya there will be no fear of hunger or poverty. Every day will be like Eid and every night will be like Diwali. He shares this vision with the community and asks them to pay half of the money for the housing development now and the other half over 10 years. Once the development is built, they'll own their homes outright. And the community loves this idea, so they pay their half, and Rais begins the construction project.
I just feel like you can't keep flip-flopping back and forth between, like, him, like, murdering and inflicting violence upon people, and then being like, I have this idealistic dream.
Yeah. Like, you can't do it at, like, if you're gonna do that, you really do need to get into the emotional meat of it. Like,
yeah.
You can't just give us both of these sides of this man without there being any sort of conflict between the two of them.
Right.
there would be.
Yes, yeah, because he's a fully fleshed out human being, or he's supposed to be.
He's supposed to be, yeah. But so then this is where we see the first terrorist attack that's referenced in the movie, which leads to widespread rioting and fights between the Hindus and Muslims, and the cops are enforcing a curfew. Rais and Asya make food to distribute to the community, but Rais's bootlegging business is suffering, and his crew tell him that he needs to either pause the construction project or stop feeding the community.
Mm-hmm.
One suggests that they stop providing food for just the Hindus, but Rais says they don't discriminate and both projects will continue. Unfortunately, the chief minister stops the construction of the housing development and allocates the land for farming instead.
Yeah. I'm just like, how can you do that, like, legally speaking?
I know. And I wasn't sure, because there was a whole thing where, like, some of the land was, like, the chief minister's land that he was going to give Rais. And so I was like, is that what this land is that he's doing this on? I don't know. I'm not even going to pretend to understand. This is what I'm being told is happening. So Rais breaks down, and he's so guilt-ridden for investing the community's money in this project that now can't move forward, that he takes it out on Sadiq and Asya, and then he wanders through town feeling gloomy and guilty. He's desperate to get everyone their money back, and so he turns to Musa. Coincidentally, Musa has a delivery job that no one has been willing to take on because of all of the police crackdowns, and so Musa gives the job to Rais. Rais has Damla bring in these crates full of gold, which have a strange substance in them as well, which Nawab says is just packing material.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely thought they were drugs.
I also thought they were drugs, but all of this happened so fast. And like...
It did, yeah. Well, and the other thing, too, that I was thinking about is, like, anytime you make an investment, you do it understanding that there's risk involved.
Yeah.
And so, like, I understand that Rais feels guilty about, like, losing everybody's money, but the fact of the matter is they were making an investment, and surely there was some kind of, like, understanding of that risk. Like...
Well, and if he's
he
such
doesn't
a smart...
owe them all their money.
That's also true. But also, he's such a smart businessman. You'd think maybe he would have like a contingency plan. Yeah. Or...
But no, it's like...
it seems like he's a fairly like bad businessman flying by the seat of his pants. Like
he just
I don't
blows through all his money. Yeah.
Well, also because we also don't really see any sort of like the building of his business. Not that we needed to get into the weeds, but just a little more. Explanation of how it works would have been nice rather than it being like
just a montage.
He's great now. Yeah.
Yeah. Again, it's just it's all surface level. There's no real depth anywhere. So Rais gets the money from Musa and this job, and he's able to pay back the community. Everyone's got their money and everybody's celebrating. But then there is news of more bombings. The Gujarat police investigate the origins of the explosives used in the bombings, and they find that they were brought in on Damla's boats with Rais's help. Damla calls Rais to warn him and says the cops won't be chasing him this time, but shooting him. And then Damla kills himself. Rais tells Asya that in trying to save his community, he burned down a city. Finally, we see him grappling with his violent choices. I mean, it wasn't even his... Anyway, I have... Anyway.
Yeah, yeah, he didn't know about it.
It wasn't his
He's
choice.
Like the least culpable in this.
Right, and I'm going to talk more about that in a moment. But so Majmudar tells his superior that he's worried that they won't get the evidence they need to actually convict Rais of anything, and so he tells his superior that they need to come down hard on Rais. And his superior tells him that he can't give Majmudar what he wants in writing, but essentially giving him sort of permission to eliminate Rais from the picture under mm-hmm. the table. Sadiq and Asya tell Rais to run, but he refuses, fearing that the police will never stop harassing Asya and Faizan if he does. We also see the cops effectively torturing people in the community as they try to find out Rais's whereabouts. So Rais goes to confront Musa and ends up killing all of his men.
Yeah.
He then tells Musa that innocent people died and Musa made Rais break his life's philosophy and religion isn't his business. Rais uses Musa's shirt to wipe the blood from his glasses, then stabs Musa in the throat with the sharpened stems. Now, setting aside the ridiculousness of that killing, I thought that Rais was going to Musa and threatening him to get him to confess to being the one behind these bombings.
I mean, that would make a lot more sense because right? he's the one that, like, commissioned the explosives.
Yes, and is the one who should be shouldering the blame. And sure, Rais probably should do some jail time for delivering the goods, but Musa could confess and explain that Rais had absolutely nothing to do with the explosives and knew nothing about them.
Yeah.
And Rais has money and could probably get a good lawyer to back that up. But no, he killed him instead.
Yeah, he killed a lot of people.
Yeah.
It just occurred to me, is this, like, explosion where a bunch of people died Majmudar's, like, turning point where he's like, okay, now a bunch of people have died from the actions of this man, so therefore I'm going to go off the book and murder him?
I guess it
they didn't
be,
make
yeah.
that very it, no. it just he like out of the blue started acting differently.
Yeah, but I think it is supposed to be that, like, he's just so broken up about it, but, like, again, not fully explored, not fully established that that's his motivation. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Rais calls home and tells Sadiq that everything is sorted, and Sadiq calls Rais Baijan. Mm-hmm. So Rais knows something is up, and indeed we see that the cops are there with Sadiq and Asya, preparing to kill Rais when he arrives. So Rais first goes to his mother's grave and says he won't let harm come to anyone else, and assuring her that they will meet again soon. He arrives back in Fatehpura with a van full of reporters, so the cops can't take a shot at him.
Now, this was smart.
This was smart. I wasn't really emotionally invested in Rais not dying, but I was like, I think he's doing enough that he won't, but anyway.
I felt nothing.
Yeah. Rais says his goodbyes to Sadiq, Asya, and Faizan, and then goes peacefully with the cops. Majmudar asks Rais why he came back, and Rais says that he needed to protect his people.
Mm-hmm.
Rais then asks Majmudar if it was a loss of faith in the system or a loss of faith in himself that made Majmudar decide to kill him, and Majmudar says it was both.
Well, would have liked to see that.
I know, yeah, any sort of struggle there would have been great. Rais asks Majmudar if he will be able to live with the guilt of killing him, and Majmudar doesn't answer. Rais takes off his glasses and asks Majmudar to give them to his wife and tell her the truth. The cops stop the van, and Rais walks out into the desert. He then faces Majmudar and insists that Majmudar shoot him in the chest and not in the back. As Majmudar shoots Rais multiple times, Rais keeps remembering his loved ones and getting back to his feet until he finally remembers his mistake and falls dead to the dirt. In a voiceover, Majmudar wonders if he did do the right thing, but says Rais's question of whether he can live with his guilt still rings in his head. We then linger on Rais's dead body for what I felt was an unnecessarily long time as the end credits roll, and that's the movie.
I feel like it wouldn't have felt too long had we actually had an emotional connection or an emotional investment in that ending, but we didn't because they didn't really create that for us.
I know. If he had lived at the end, I feel like I would have liked the movie more because I would have felt like, okay, well, they weren't really trying to, like, do anything.
Yeah, I feel
they
like
were
they,
just,
yeah,
creating a surface-level kind of crime movie.
Yeah, it was one of those confusing moments where I was like, they clearly want me to feel something. They
yes.
want me to be, like, wrestling with some question, but I don't know what that question is, and I don't know what those feelings are supposed to be, because I'm just kind of like, okay.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, I just watched this movie, and I just watched point by point by point you tell me what was going to happen, and that is what happened, so.
Yeah. Yeah, like, I don't really care about Majmudar's, like, his whole journey after this. I'm like, whatever.
Yeah,
he's fine, I guess. I'm like, why was Rais's death so dramatic? Why were we milking it as if it were, like, honorable?
It was just stupid. He didn't need to die.
Yeah, I agree. I had the thought that, like, if I were going to write a review, I feel like it would be entitled, "Not Even Shah Rukh Khan's Abs Can Distract Us from This Train Wreck."
Yeah.
It's like, you tried.
Not even his, like, neck kissing and just those. Because, like, the romantic moments were very good, but it was just like,
they
why
out
is
of
this
place
here? Yeah.
I don't think he needed that. Like,
no.
you could have taken the romantic story out of it. You could have just made him, like, a single man who was, like, dedicated to his community.
Right. And again, like, the emotional depth could have come from, like, the relationship with his mother.
Yeah.
But that just, like, wasn't there. It was just, like, she said these words to him when he was a kid, and then he sort of believed them, and they right. sort of helped him, but they didn't really shape who he was or how he acted.
Right.
They just wanted us to think they did.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, like, the relationship with his mother, and then the friendship he had with Sadiq could have yeah. also been his, like, anchors.
Mm-hmm.
And that would have been an interesting, like, Sadiq could have been a really good plot device for, yeah. like, exploring race's, like, change and development into, like, this violent man who still wants to help people, but who has now, like, has a lot of blood on his hands.
Right.
But whatever. It didn't happen. It is what it is.
And it is what it isn't.
It definitely is what it's not. Yep.
Yeah. So, yeah, what'd you research for this week?
Research. So, first, just some notes on just random things.
Great, love it.
Yeah. The kite cutting game, which you didn't mention in your recap, but they do it as a part of Eid, that there is, like, they're all flying kites, and then Rice is all happy because he's, like, severing the ties of other kites. And I was like, what is this? This is clearly a thing. And it's called kite fighting.
Oh.
Kite fighting symbolizes joy, freedom, and community spirit, especially among children. And it is seen as a fun and festive activity to partake in as a community during Eid.
Mm-hmm.
Because it does seem like this is, like, at least the area in which Rais lives is primarily Muslim.
Yeah. So I really do wish that we had done more with the religious dynamics yeah. in this movie, because I feel like it's rare for us to see Shah Rukh play a Muslim character.
Yeah.
And I also feel like it's rare for us to see a movie that just that people just are being Muslim, and there's yeah. it's not, like, necessarily a huge part of, like, the plot. They just are, and they're just living their lives.
Right.
And I really liked that about this movie. But then the fact that we just sort of, like, sprinkled in a little bit of sort of religious tensions, I yeah. was like, either none or more needed to happen. Right.
Yeah, I agree with that. Well, and, like, various celebrations of Eid kept being brought up
mm-hmm.
throughout the film. So it was like they kept bringing attention back to religion, but then yeah. not to maybe the most crucial parts.
Right.
But also, and this is maybe a bit more random, but at one point, I think it's when Rice is, like, expanding the business or talking about new projects or something, Asiya asks him if he's Shah Jahan. And okay. I was like, who's that? So if anyone else caught that and you were wondering, Shah Jahan was emperor of Hindustan from 1628 to 1658.
Okay.
He was the fifth Mughal emperor, and his reign marked the pinnacle of Mughal architectural and cultural achievements.
Oh, cool.
So it must have been like, you're really expanding your kingdom. But our main story tonight is alcohol prohibition in India.
All right.
I think there's a lot of material that could be explored on this, but mm-hmm. we're just going to do like a more succinct and concise overview.
I think that's great.
Yeah, but alcohol prohibition started with the temperance movement. The temperance movement had the goal of curbing the use of alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
And it began in Great Britain in the 1830s when people began to campaign for prohibition as a solution to social issues like poverty, child neglect, immorality, and economic decline.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that a lot of workers were just out drinking too much and... yeah, they were like, we're blaming you, alcohol, for all of society's problems. This also coincided with the 19th century missionary movement in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So now we also have, like, this whole religious movement happening. And as early as 1887, temperance groups were traveling to India to advocate for abstinence from alcohol. And in the early 1900s, Christian associations began massively supporting the efforts of Hindu and Muslim reformers pushing for the government to impose national prohibition. The temperance movement in India then became closely tied with the Indian independence movement because Mahatma Gandhi viewed alcohol as a foreign import.
Oh.
Yeah. and he blamed foreign rule as the sole reason why prohibition was not yet established. So, upon India's independence in 1947, several states implemented prohibition. And Article 47 of the Constitution of India states, "The state shall endeavor to bring about prohibition of the consumption, except for medicinal purposes, of intoxicating drinks and of drugs which are injurious to health." So it's literally in their constitution, which actually then makes me wonder why more states aren't dry states, but that's fine. I don't know. And just a more modern take on this. In 2016, women were the driving force behind a campaign to ban alcohol in the state of Tamil Nadu. They helped elect a pro-prohibition leader, Chief Minister Jay Jayalalitha, who shut down 500 liquor stores on her first day in office. Although Tamil Nadu is not a dry state. So okay. I don't really know how legally you can do that. I don't know a lot of the legal rules. Like, there were a lot of things in Rais that I was just like, can you just do that, though? Like, sometimes in these movies, I get confused as to, like, what is actually, like, quote-unquote police corruption versus what are just different laws than right. what we have in the States.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
You know?
Absolutely, yeah. I've had that confusion before, too.
Yeah. Anyway. And then in 2017, women once again made up a majority of the support for a pro-prohibition candidate in Bihar. They successfully elected Nitish Kumar, who signed prohibition legislation, and Bihar has since seen lower rates of drinking among men, as well as fewer incidents of violence against women.
Mm-hmm.
But I also want to talk specifically about Gujarat. Gujarat, as it's known today, came into legal existence on May 1st, 1960.
Okay.
Before that, it was part of Bombay State, which had prohibition from 1948 to 1950, and then from 1958 onward. I'm okay. not sure what happened in those 8 years in between. I think they gave it a go, and it did a lot of partying. And it didn't go well. But from its 1960 inception, Gujarat has been a dry state. It is also the only Indian state that has a death penalty for the manufacture and sale of homemade liquor that results in fatalities, after legislation was introduced in 2009 as an answer to numerous deaths resulting from the consumption of methyl alcohol. As has been seen in dry states, prohibition can lead to an increase in illegal production of liquor, which can cause deaths due to methanol contamination. And we saw a glimpse of this in Rais, like towards the beginning yeah. of the film. But the latest modern example is the 2022 Gujarat toxic liquor deaths, when at least 42 people died and more than 97 were hospitalized.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's interesting just to think that this movie is set in the 80s, but, you know,
that's still very much a thing.
It's still very much a thing. And people are in danger from it. But today, alcohol is prohibited in Bihar, Gujarat, Mizoram, and Nagaland. All other Indian states and union territories permit the sale of alcohol, although there are designated dry days.
Okay.
So I was honestly expecting more of like a religious reason for prohibition, but it does seem to be coming more from like a moralistic standpoint.
Yeah, that's interesting. You know, I'm not going to say that any kind of choice one way or the other, like personally about drinking right. versus not drinking, is right or wrong. I take issue with the banning of substances like alcohol because it's often the treatment of a symptom as opposed to the treatment of the cause of many issues. And thinking about the violence against women example, like obviously I'm in support of anything that will cut down on violence against women, and also alcohol is not necessarily the core reason that a person might be violent towards another person. It might be the thing that makes them feel capable of taking violent action.
Yeah.
But it's a symptom. It's not the cause.
It doesn't take someone who is fundamentally nonviolent and make them violent.
Yeah. I take issue in situations where people are pointing a finger at something that isn't actually necessarily going to address the root cause of a problem. It's sort of a distraction, especially when, like I was saying in the recap, there's often a discrepancy between, like, who is it actually illegal for? Who is actually getting in trouble for buying and selling and drinking alcohol?
Right.
and it's usually people who are having to deal with a lot in their lives, and that's why they're turning towards a substance as like a form of escapism. But also I think it's interesting too, because like the legal production of alcohol probably would prevent a lot of deaths by contamination.
Well, and that's my whole thing. I mean, I feel that way about all drug substances, really. It's that people are gonna do it anyway. They will find a way to produce it. They will find a way to consume it. So if you make it legal and therefore regulated and monitored, you prevent a lot of deaths.
A lot of deaths and misuse. I'm not trying to say that anybody needs to be legalizing alcohol that is opposed to it, but I think it can be a distraction from what are actual issues.
Mm-hmm. I do think we sound very liberal right now.
Very liberal, yes. Yeah.
Which I'm okay with.
I know. But some people might not be, and sorry.
That's fine, you know?
Yeah.
Agree to disagree. But anyway, yeah, that's what I researched. I think there's a lot of other aspects probably of prohibition in India to discuss.
I've watched quite a few movies that have prohibition or a sort of like anti-alcohol theme. Prohibition is used like as a plot device, or like negative feelings towards alcohol is used as a plot device. A lot of South Indian movies that use that as a plot tool. So if we ever wanted to watch more, I know of some.
I didn't look into the specific prohibition history of various states, but I'd be curious to know what specifically South Indian experience has been like with prohibition and the reasons behind it too, because India is such a massive country. Like, there have to be differing stories depending on where you're asking about it. So yeah, that'd be interesting to explore at one point.
We'll file that away for the future.
So
yes.
Bollywood news.
I have two quick pieces of Bollywood news.
Okay.
I'm going to start with the second one first because it's the less exciting one. Shah Rukh Khan made an announcement that there is a Red Chillies production in conjunction with Netflix. Okay. It's a series to be directed by his son, Aryan.
Okay.
And your face looked like kind of my reaction when I first read this. I was like, okay, great, nepotism, cool, here we are. But then I thought about how that's literally how Adi Chopra got started. He directed a movie produced by his dad's film company.
That's true.
So I was like, maybe I'll reserve judgment.
I think that you're approaching it the right way. And also, do we think that Aryan Khan is next Adi Chopra?
I don't know enough about him to say yes or no. I think I'm teetering a little more towards the no, but I don't have any evidence to support that. So I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt. And, you know, I'm trying to be more aware of it. And I do think there's a lot of it. And I think we don't need to say, like, it's going to be garbage and nobody should watch it.
No.
Just because, like, it's made by a Nepo baby. And also, I think it's always worth acknowledging, like, and he got here a lot more easily.
Right.
You know, I mean, I think he's, like, in his mid-20s. Like, how many people in their mid-20s are given the chance to direct a Netflix series?
Yeah. Well, and I would just wonder, you know, we don't know much about him. Mm-hmm. And so if I found out that he, since the age of 7, has been taking notes on every single movie that ever came out and, like, literally researching why certain things did well, like Adi did, which, again, is a bit out of the norm.
Yes, it is.
But, you know, if I found out, like, wow, he's been really dedicated to the film industry since he was a child, I think I'd be a lot more supportive. And I'm not supportive. I think a lot of Nepo babies, it's just kind of I decided last year I wanted to get into this.
Right.
And look at that. Oh, my God, I have a starring role, or I'm directing this, or which
as
is great
for them.
As opposed
to, like, I know I want to be a part of this. I'm going to work really hard to earn my place within this industry.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's even acknowledging Adi Chopra's, like, privilege in it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
But
Yeah, because it was still easier for him than it probably would have been for others. But I don't think anyone can deny that he has earned his place.
Yes, yeah. And he's really good at what he does.
Right. And he's launched the careers of a lot of non-Nepo babies, so.
Yes, but I'm here for it. I will watch it.
We'll see what we have coming down the pipeline here from Red Chilies. Speaking of Nepo babies, my other piece of Bollywood news is that Tiger,
my favorite Nepo baby,
on Instagram dropped a movie poster for Boggy 4.
What?
Yep, which we will be getting in 2025. The Tiger shows a bedraggled looking tiger covered in blood, holding a bottle of presumably alcohol with a gun sitting on the toilet. Like, not in a way like he's using it, but like he, like something went down in this bathroom and he now is sitting down on the toilet.
Well, we've talked about our theories for Boggy 4, right? Which is he's gonna fight a planet.
Yeah, which this doesn't bode well for that theory, but we don't necessarily know that he's not in outer space.
That's true. They have toilets too.
But you gotta go somewhere.
I just had the thought, I was like, Boggy 4 takes a real turn where he's hit rock bottom.
Yeah.
And the whole movie is him just fighting a bunch of dudes in a bathroom.
It's a bottle film. It's supposed to be like a bottle episode. He's like stuck in the one space. I did want to say though, my favorite thing about this movie poster is that the tagline was, "This time he's not the same." And I just think it's worth pointing out that in none of the Boggy movies has he been the same person.
Right. But he kind of was, though. He was always Ronnie.
He was always Ronnie, but it was always a different Ronnie every time.
Yeah. And have, like, a very different vibe, each Ronnie.
Yeah.
So who's this Ronnie?
I don't know. This one's, he's even more different than the other ones have been different people. He's an even differenter different guy than the others.
He's got a drinking problem and an irritable bowel.
He's got a lot of problems, and alcohol and the constant need of using the toilet are both among them.
Well, I'm here for it.
So, you know, a lot to look forward to in 2025, as well as a lot to not look forward to. But, you know, you got to take the rough with the smooth.
Oh, yes, you do. Okay. Thanks for sharing that important Bollywood news.
Yes, absolutely.
Pluggables, follow us on Instagram at Two White Girls Talk Bollywood. Never mind that I haven't posted for 3 weeks. Maybe today's the day.
You know, it's the suspense that makes it fun to follow us on Instagram.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. It'll happen when it happens. I'm just living my life. But yeah, do what you do there. We do truly appreciate any and all interaction that we get on Instagram, regardless of my poor response time. Also, consider subscribing to us on whatever podcast platform you listen to us on. That is consistent. Yeah. Our episodes do consistently come out on Tuesdays.
They do. It's all thanks to my alarm that goes off Mondays at 8:30.
Yay. But yeah, and please also consider leaving us a rating or review on whatever podcast platform you listen to us on. If you could not consider our social media presence as part of that review, that'd be great.
Yeah, you're not rating us on our ability to social media.
No. But as always, thank you so much for listening.
Thank you indeed. And join us on YouTube and Spotify, where we keep our Bollywood bangers playlists. Also not always the best at being updated, but we do what we can. We're both just being who we are. We're all just trying to survive one day at a time.
Yep, exactly.
And you can find those playlists on YouTube and Spotify.
That's true.
And you can find them even more easily if you follow the links that we put in our episode descriptions and our Instagram posts.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So
let's wrap this thing up. We are going to be watching Honey Bunny.
Yeah. I'm so stoked to watch Citadel Honey Bunny.
Me too.
We're going to do it over 2 weeks, the first 3 episodes next week and the second 3 episodes the week after that. But I just rewatched Citadel and I enjoyed it a lot more than I remembered enjoying it the first time.
It's a good show, yeah.
It's, yeah, and I've heard really good things about Citadel Honey Bunny. It's Raj and DK. We love Raj and DK.
I swear to God that this is how I reacted the last time you mentioned this, but I keep forgetting. I keep forgetting that they wrote, and every time it's like Christmas morning, I'm like, yeah. What?
Wait, it's Raj and DK.
Oh, to have my poor memory, am I right?
The memory of a goldfish over here. So our plot description on IMDb is years after stuntman Bunny recruited struggling actress Honey for a side gig, their dangerous past catches up with them, forcing the estranged couple to reunite and protect their daughter, who grows up to be Priyanka Chopra.
Oh, that's fun.
Mm-hmm.
Citadel Honey Bunny is available on Amazon Prime. I'm never gonna not find Honey Bunny funny. Wow.
Getting to watch that happen to you in real time was a joy, was an absolute joy for me.
Oh, man. Where was I even going with this?
The book.
Right. It's a very serious action show. And also, it's got a funny name.
Well, I think it's like a Raj and DK action. Yes. Show. You know, it's going to be kind of tongue in cheek and I think funny, yes, at times, but it's going to be
also gritty.
Strong. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm very excited about it. But as I said, it's available on Amazon Prime. The synopsis is basically the IMDb synopsis, but just rearranged. So
great.
I'm not going to bother reading that. I am so excited. I feel like it's been a while since we've seen Varun in something like gritty.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm here for it. I'm really excited.
I know. I am too. We've been looking forward to this for a while.
We have.
And it's, by all accounts, doing really well out there in the world. It's like top series on Amazon Prime for a while. It was like number 3 in the U.S. even.
Wow.
Which is awesome. So, yeah, I am looking forward to getting to experience it with everyone else.
Mm-hmm. So, I feel like we've done the work here, yeah, tonight. So... enjoy. I hope it's just as good as Citadel, if not better. I suspect it will be.
Oh my god, there's a spider on my computer.
Oh my god. Kim, hold it together.
I'm so sorry. It really scared me. And I don't have anything to kill it other than my hands.
Okay, well, okay. How do I help you?
You can't. We could just wrap it up.
Okay. So yeah, until next time. Remember, kids just watching this spider. Okay. Bollywood doesn't need us.
No.
But we need Bollywood.
We do, yeah.
And something to kill that spider.
Something to kill spiders, yeah. I was gonna try to make some kind of joke about like needing to do a shot or something.
But no, it's this is much more pressing. Yeah. Do you have a flip-flop?
No.
That's my preferred tool.
Not within reach. I don't know where it is now. It's gone.
Okay, that's my philosophy is if you just look away,
it's, yeah,
it's not your problem anymore.
It becomes, yeah, it's not my problem anymore. Yeah. Bye, little friend.
Okay, bye.